Good day, everybody. Welcome to the third installment of Red Sox Central with Danny Barletta from Sargas, and my name is Joe McConnell. I'm your congenial wicked local sports editor host. And but enough about me and the papers I take care of, which is a number of papers up here in the North Unit that includes the Danvers Herald, Stoneville Journal, Sargas Advertiser, Stoneham Sun, Reading Advocate, Wakefield Observer, you name it, I do it, plus the Marblehead Reporter. Anyway, Danny, welcome back. This is the third installment. It's been a while since we...
End of June, but yeah, it's good to be back.
Was it the end of June?
Yeah.
So what's it been like the last, month and a half, I guess?
Just a lot of Red Sox winning, it seems like. Going into Thursday's game, I know that they were 25-5 in their last 30 games, and that's unbelievable. That's unheard of. And it's been a very easy team to cheer for and, write about. Every night it seems like it's just another. But they win in a variety of different ways. Some nights they hit 5 home runs. Some nights they only score a couple runs, get great pitching. Some nights it's like just an extra base here and there, and then this come from behind wins. And you name it, the Sox do it,
Yeah, we're taping this the day after they lost.
Yes, rare thing these days.
I know. What gives with Pizzello and the Toronto Blue Jays?
I don't know. I saw some stat that really jumped out at me. He has a ERA in the low 3s against every other team this year, and his ERA is up over 9 against the Blue Jays in 4 starts this season. So I don't know. It's kind of like David Price with the Yankees until last start. Some teams just have certain pitchers' numbers.
Yeah, to borrow a phrase from Jared Carrabba's, he wasn't certainly pretty Ricky last night, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely not. No. There was no rain either, so it wasn't
exactly
Ricky rain drops.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean 8-5, too. Of course, at least there was some solace.
Mookie Betts hit the cycle. That's crazy. First cycle of the year in the MLB, and It really kind of stinks. It comes in a Sox loss, but that was the headline this morning. It wasn't like the Red Sox loss. It was like, the Mookie Betts hit for the cycle.
In the other papers,
too? On MLB Network, that was the highlights they showed was his cycle. It wasn't even really and by the way, they lost last night.
And of course, the Yankee fans are probably saying, well, we gained a game on you, but they're still 8 games back.
8 games back, I think with that 4-game sweep, it essentially put the division to rest. I mean, they still play 6 more times, but that's not until mid-September. By then, we could be up by 12, 13 games for all we know. So.
Well, let's hope so, but unfortunately, the schedule's a little bit easier for the Yankees right now.
Yeah, I mean, but we do play Baltimore next for 4 games because of the makeup from the rain out, and it's... That's a team that we've absolutely dominated, and the Yankees can't say the same. Right. Baltimore's given them some trouble, but this year I think they've only lost twice against the Baltimore Orioles, and a 4-game sweep right now would be really nice. Send us in the 50s over 500.
Oh, exactly. And also probably chances are Texas is not that great this year, but the chances are they probably won't. They'll probably at least salvage one of those games against the Yankees.
Yeah. I mean, Texas is a decent team. They played us tough when we played them. I remember one of the games I went to, it was against them, and that was like they're a good team. They're not, and their record doesn't show how good they actually are. They're obviously in last place in the AL West, but they're not as bad as the Orioles. So.
And of course, as a matter of introduction and all that, how could the people read your blog and all that?
Oh yeah, I've been writing a lot of stuff, usually a couple of things a week, including the column every week for Wicked Local, and I share everything on my Twitter account, which is at @dbars_12, @dbars_12, and I also share it all on the Red Sox Central Twitter page, which is @RedSoxCentral1 on Twitter. So yeah, just give it a look, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. Usually I try to recap a couple of games a week, and I write a recap every week for the papers around here, so hopefully you've been checking that out.
So what do you say? Have people been kind of responding to you or what?
Not really personally, just every time I put something out, it gets quite a few likes and retweets. Good. So usually, especially the ones that I write for Red Sox Unfiltered, they always they always get up to, like, I think I've had one that got up to like 20 something likes, and yeah. like he sends us like the thing of all the views we get every week, and one of my most read ones, I got like up over like 40 50 really? Views, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. So what's Red Sox Unfiltered?
They're another Red Sox site. There's like seven of us. Usually each of us cover one game a week. Yeah. And they have a Twitter account that has up over 1,000 followers. They're really an up-and-coming site. Patrick Green is a great he really does a good job with the site. And that's at BoSox Unfiltered, BOSOX Unfiltered on Twitter. And, you know, there's a lot of articles being published every day by some good young Red Sox writers. So.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, that's how they can also read your stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's that's a good site. It's a little bit cleaner, too, because it's definitely a more professional-looking site, and it's really nice. Like,
How would they log on to it and stuff like that?
On Twitter, it's right on that account, but if you just type in on Google Red Sox Unfiltered, it's gotten to the point where that's like the first thing that shows up is that website, and you know, there's headlines and you know, standings right on there. Like I said, Patrick Green really put a lot of work, and it's a really good looking site, so check it out, redsoxunfiltered.com.
Of course, you're going to be a sophomore at the University of Connecticut.
Yeah, we're going back in a couple of weeks, which is...
When's the date?
I'm going back. I have to move in a little bit early. I'm moving in Wednesday the 22nd. So, this summer has gone by too fast, but I'm looking forward to going back.
It's certainly not a dull summer for you.
No, definitely not. I've been doing a lot of work, you know, had a lot of fun, went on a couple of trips, you know. So, it's been a really fun summer, really busy summer, and it's gone by too fast. This one's gone by faster than, you know, it seems like any other one in the past.
Did this kind of exceeded your expectations when you first approached me?
I definitely didn't expect to be writing a weekly Red Sox article. Like that's just awesome. And you know, recording these podcasts, talking about, you know, the best team in the league, my favorite team, it's great opportunity, and I really appreciate it.
About all the other stuff that you covered, going way back in June too.
June was a crazy month, start to finish. Covering the state tournament games, you know, some lacrosse, some baseball. It was definitely a lot of fun, you know, doing the post game interviews, you know, talking to some players, and that was really fun. I really enjoyed that opportunity. I
mean, going back to school, you probably think that's some quiet time. You can relax now.
maybe, but it's just it's still got to do the schoolwork, and I'm actually going to be doing, you know, hopefully similar to the stuff back in June with UConn's TV station and newspaper, because you know I'm hoping to join that and you know maybe write for them and you know maybe appear on some of their sports talk shows that they have.
So. One thing about you, obviously you know what you're doing now. I mean, you won't be unfamiliar with
what
they might throw at you and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. Anything like now I kind of know what entails covering a game. It's not like, you know, you cover it, you watch it, get some interviews, get some quotes, put a column together or a highlight reel together. I know for the TV station it's kind of like a... like you put like the highlight reels together and stuff and kind of talk over that. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be in any uncharted waters anymore because, you know, this summer has really given me a lot of opportunity to get experience.
So you're a journalism major, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
So what's your course load going to be like coming up?
My course load, I'm taking mostly just some intro to journalism stuff because this is going to be my first semester actually taking journalism courses. So I'm taking like news writing one, like the press in America, and then it's just some general education courses, like requirements. So,
So it's about 4 or 5 courses.
Yeah, I have five courses, 15 credits right now. So it's not quite as crazy as my last year's schedule, which is nice. But you know, I'm gonna be busy, when I'm not doing schoolwork, I'll be keeping tabs on Boston sports as always. Yeah. So.
Well, obviously, you'd be watching the Red Sox down the home stretch too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's gonna be a fun October if this keeps up. You know, I just hope I hope it doesn't end up like a lot of times you see like the teams that absolutely dominate all through the regular season. They don't always they don't always carry that in through the playoffs. Yeah, so
you're not going to be one of those fans that said, okay, it was a wasted year because they didn't go advanced that far into the playoffs.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a wasted year, but after a year as crazy, unbelievable as this, it would be kind of a shame to see them not, you know. I think that right now the goal is to win a World Series.
Still a lot of great memories, too.
Oh, yeah. No matter what, this will go down as one of the greatest teams ever. But winning that World Series is definitely an important part of that.
Yeah, but that'll be only probably in your lifetime, your fourth one that you saw, right?
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
19? I'm 19.
So you saw four in 19 years. Probably people listening to you right now probably say, well, I saw one in... my first one in my first 80 years.
Yeah.
So no, that's not bad, though.
No, I'll take it. And even if, you know, they make it to the World Series and it's a good series, you know, can't complain about that. I just don't want them to get knocked out in the first round or something like that. So, but it's really been a fun team to watch and, you know, some great players.
Probably the most seminal moment was Mookie Betts' Grand Slam against, I think, Toronto.
Yeah, it's time to party. I actually have the shirt right here. Yeah.
Ironically, I think you showed me that Grand Slam because we were both at a Little League.
Yeah, we were covering a Little League game at the time. I remember that.
I saw the Grand Slam, but I didn't really grasp the whole magnitude of it because it was a 13th pitch at bat and all that.
Yeah, no, and then that, they were down, I think, 3-1 at the time, and then that made it 5-3, and it's like they went on a win streak after that. And
so did Eckersley make those shirts or what?
Yeah, actually, it's a Barstool short.
Figures at Carabas do something like that.
I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, wow, that's an awesome shirt. It's just Mookie when he was rounding first.
To make a buck, Jared knows how to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
So no question about that. But the thing is, that was a signature call by Eckersley.
Oh, yeah.
No question about that.
It's time to party.
But, you know, obviously we didn't see it live. We did see it live, but we didn't hear it the way it sounded.
It was good to hear it. Yeah, once you hear the actual call, was really cool.
Would you say that was like the seminal moment that put them over the top or what?
Definitely, because I'm trying to think. I don't remember like where they were. Obviously they've been, you know, on win streaks and doing good all year, but I feel like after that game they went on like a really crazy run. And I think that was probably like mid July. It was like right before the All-Star break. And then I think they won all the games in that series, and then they went on, you know, the crazy run after the All-Star break. So it was it was really a fun moment and great for the team because they used that momentum. And, you know, I think there was that Grand Slam, and then there was a walk-off Grand Slam in that same series by Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and, you know, it's been the year of the Grand Slam, and it's, you know, it was time to party then. It's been time to party most nights since then.
Exactly. Matter of fact, I don't think they had a Grand Slam all of last year.
All last year, yeah, zero, and they're up to 9 this year. I think it's 9.
Something obscene like that. It's incredible. I mean, so, of course, going into last weekend, everybody was hoping for a sweep, but, I mean, you probably wouldn't anticipating it.
No, definitely not. Like, whenever these teams go at it, it always seems like it's going to be, like, on a four-game series especially, it seems like it's going to be tough all four nights, and one team's going to get two, the other team's going to get two. I was anticipating a split, and it was going to stay, you know, 5.5 in the standings. And, you know, when they won that first game, you know, I'm trying to think, what was the Thursday night game? That was the 15-5 win. They put up 15 runs, and Steve Pierce with 3 home runs. Yeah. And that was just
15-7.
Yeah. 15-7. Yeah. And Steve Pierce just hit 3 home runs, and we scored all. And I remember I work with a Yankee fan. He's like, oh yeah, you scored all your runs last night. We're gonna take care of business the rest of the series. And now, because then Rick Porcello didn't do good last night, but he threw a complete game, masterpiece.
Does the Yankee fan Sargas or what?
I don't know where he lives. I think but he's from somewhere around here, so we give him a lot of crap at work, which is funny. But
He was probably not too happy Monday morning after Sunday.
Definitely not. Definitely not. He actually, I think he was on vacation that week, so he got to kind of shelter it.
How convenient.
Yeah,
how
I know. Right?
Yeah, no question about that. But the thing is probably even if the Mookie Betts thing was the seminal moment, probably the most fun was the way they came back on Sunday night. And then if you tune into like WFAN in New York, they're listening to their talk shows after the game. They hear all the fans kind of crying and whining about it.
Yeah, no, I can imagine, because it was almost like you know, it didn't really matter if the Sox like lost that game. They had already won the first three. If they lost one, it's still a win of the series. So it was like it kind of stunk, like because they were ahead, and then you know, and Price actually pitched good, and then Hembry blows it, and there's an error by Bogarts. So like the way that it would have kind of stunk, but it wouldn't have been the biggest deal. And then when they come back in the ninth, and then just like it's just like kicking when they're down, like you know, like they thought they were gonna salvage one game, and then you're like nope, walk off one, and that was fun.
The fans weren't too happy in New York, that's for sure. Listening to the radio talk shows and out of New York online and all that.
Oh yeah,
they weren't too happy. Yeah,
I can't even imagine how upset they would have, because I think of it the reverse way. If we got swept and then all of a sudden they're only one game back of first place, you know, I wouldn't be happy, and it'd be tough times in Boston.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to listen to any talk shows on EEI or 98.5.
No, definitely not.
Sure. No question about that. No, because all the negative people come out.
Yeah, they're just looking for a thing. Because even when the game is even when they're doing this good, you still hear like Tony Maz and like complaining about something, you know. It's like, yeah, I'll tell you, I don't think this team can win in the playoffs.
That's a good imitation of them too. Anyway, we'll be right back in a second.
All right.
Wrap this thing up for the third time. Hold on 1 second. Okay, welcome back. It's Joe McCollum.
And Dan Barletta.
That's very good. That's very good.
It's almost
a team after the third time.
Yeah.
After the third time. And this is Red Sox Central. And let's see. Danny, let's talk about the upcoming schedules for the Red Sox and the Yankees.
So obviously, you know, the Sox, they got four games with the Baltimore Orioles, a team that they should, you know, take three out of four of at least, and then they go and play the second half of that like 2-2 National League series.
That could be a split there.
Philadelphia. They go to Philly, which is, I mean, beautiful ballpark. I've always wanted to visit there, but
Wear your Red Sox jersey though.
Oh yeah,
the Philly fans might not like it.
Oh, definitely. It was funny. I went to one of the games I went to this year was a Phillies game. It's at Fenway. Like it was actually the Blake Swihart walk off one in 13 innings. But there was easily like 40% Phillies fans there. They travel well. The Philadelphia crowd, but they're a good sports town. So
I was during the
no
week.
Surprise.
Too. I was during the week as well.
Yeah, it was a Monday night game, and like, yeah, I was very surprised to see that. Like me and my friend went, and we were sitting. There was at least, you know, 30 Phillies fans in our section alone. And
where'd
like,
you sit?
Right field, right near Pesky Pole. It's like it's where my mom usually can get some tickets from her work every year from there. So
good seats.
Yeah.
Good seats. And so anybody, any fights around you or what?
No fights. Okay, but the Phillies fans did try to start a Let's Go Phillies chant, and then like all the Boston fans got kind of mad, and everybody kind of tried to do it louder. But now there was a lot of Philadelphia fans in Boston, so I'm going to assume that there's going to be a lot of Boston fans in Philadelphia.
They went chanting Eagles better? You know,
Nothing
like that.
I didn't hear anything particular. I didn't see anybody wearing any Eagles attire, which I was surprised at.
Eagles better or something like that.
Yeah, like Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nobody said anything like that, huh?
No.
So after they play those two games at Philadelphia, where they go?
They come home for a 7-game homestand against the Tampa Bay Rays. They actually haven't played, I don't think, since May, because they played them like 9 times, like early in the season, or 12 times. And so they're playing them for the first time in a while. And then they play a four game set with Cleveland, another good team, potential playoff opponent. Then they go on the road to play Tampa Bay again. They come home for a couple against Miami, and then they go on the road to Chicago to play the White Sox, and that takes you into September.
Who's after Tampa Bay? Yes.
Miami, the Marlins.
Oh, Tampa! They come home to play Tampa Bay for four, and then the Marlins come up here for two.
Yeah, they go to Tampa Bay for three games, and then come back up to play Miami, which is kind of weird because
Oh, I thought the Tampa Bay one was at home.
Tampa Bay one, the first one's at home, but then...
Four games, and then after the four games at home against Tampa Bay.
Against Cleveland, yeah. Okay. And then then they go on the road to play. So they play them six times in a week.
So they play Tampa Bay after Cleveland on the road.
Yeah.
And then...
Come home to play Miami for two games, and then they go on the road to play Chicago, and then actually Atlanta again on the road. And that takes you into September, so...
How many games against Atlanta, too?
Three.
See, that's kind of weird with the schedule. I mean, of course, the Yankees didn't do that well against the Mets the first time, second time around. But still, I mean, they play the Mets home and home. The Sox have to be settled with Philadelphia and then Atlanta too.
Yeah, because we played it and Miami because we went to Miami really early in the season.
Do the Yankees play Atlanta again?
I don't know if the Yankees play Atlanta. Let's see. I'll pull up the Yankees schedule.
Yeah, just curious about that too. I mean, because I mean. There was discrepancies in the schedule that way, you know. I mean, Atlanta's certainly a lot better than the Mets, that's for sure.
Yeah. Atlanta's a good team. They're probably going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and Philadelphia, too.
Right, yeah. Philadelphia's in first place in the NL East right now, and I think Atlanta's in second place, and they're a wild card team right now. But, let's see. The Yankees, if this ever loads... They actually play Miami on the road this week. Well, actually, no, next week.
So I mean, after Texas, so who do they have after Texas?
After Texas, they come home. I think it's a makeup game against the Mets. It's just one game, so I'm assuming that's a makeup. And then they play three against Tampa Bay, three against Toronto, all at home. Then they go on the road and play.
Sounds like they're always at home, though.
Yeah. I mean, actually, most of September they're on the road, though. September they only play like 1 week at home. In September they go on the road they go on a West Coast trip and then they come.
Yeah, that West Coast trip could be very dangerous for them.
Oh yeah,
because you're looking at what is it? Three in Seattle and three in Oakland.
Yep, that's three, three and three. Then three in Minnesota after that, which is another not terrible team. But
Seattle and Oakland, if they're very close to them in the wild card, could also knock them out of the wild card too.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be crazy if they the Yankees end up not even making the playoffs?
I mean, I saw that Seattle put King Felix in the bullpen.
Really?
Yeah. What's up with that?
That's
what they said. He has an ERA over five. They said.
Yeah, he hasn't. I mean, he was like a really dominant pitcher for like a good, 5 year span, and then I haven't heard much from him for the past like three seasons.
Of course, Paxton is a top pitcher now.
Yeah, Paxton's a good pitcher. Yeah. He pitched well against the Sox.
I mean, if it's Seattle, they'll have to deal with the Yankees. We'll have to deal with Paxton. In that one game playoff, that's not gonna be easy, no matter where it is.
Oh, definitely not.
And if it's Oakland, I mean Oakland, and they're having all this momentum right now. That's not gonna be as easy as Minnesota was last year.
Definitely not. No, Oakland is Oakland's like a sneaky good team. Like they are. Like you don't look at the Oakland team and think like, oh wow, this is like a playoff contender. But I mean they have a good record. They have a good lineup.
I wish Shane Lowry was back here.
Yeah. Is he on the DL or?
He's still playing.
In Boston. He never really got a lot of opportunity here to like play every day. But he's taking advantage of his opportunity out in Oakland, and that's good to see because I always liked Jed Lowry. He's switch hitter, good defense, good contact hitter, and he was an All Star this year. So
So let's see. After Texas this weekend, they have one game against the Mets, and then they go to...
They stay home, and they're playing Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay and Toronto at home.
Toronto. Again, teams that, potentially they could sweep, but then again, maybe not, too, because, they're not the type of teams that you could count on a sweep.
Yeah, no, Tampa Bay is a tough team, They always play the interdivision rivals pretty well.
And even against Chicago, the White Sox earlier this week, they could have lost one of those games, too. They went to 13 innings before they beat them.
Yeah. Chicago has given us some trouble this year. Mm-hmm.
I think they took two.
Yeah, they took two out of three from us, and then we're going there for four games at the end of this month, going into the beginning of September. So, I'll hope that like that should be a series. Like I said, that should be a 3 out of 4 at least. But yeah. But you know, you never know. Like I said, those teams can kind of sneaky take a couple from you and so play after, spoiler.
So after they get done with Tampa Bay at home and Toronto at home, so they're home for both.
Yeah, they're home for they're in the process of a
like a week and a half homestand.
Yeah, 12-game homestand.
Yeah, so they have 3 more games against Texas, then the Mets, and then Tampa Bay, then Toronto.
Yeah, and then they go on the road, but not for that long. They go on the road for 2 games against Miami, and then 4 games against Baltimore.
Yeah,
yeah.
But even though Baltimore got rid of everybody, but the thing is, they always find a way to beat the Yankees.
Too. Yeah, this year especially, yeah. Like they just had their numbers. So, I mean,
and at Baltimore, that's well, actually, even the last game before they played the Red Sox last week, they lost to Baltimore 7-1.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they did, and
at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, and then they came. Because both of us were coming off a loss. Like we lost to the Phillies, and then they lost to the Orioles, and then obviously, you know, we swept them 4 straight. So, but then they actually play a lot of the same teams because then they play the White Sox at home, and then they play Detroit at home. So, yeah, it's gonna be interesting going into September. Right now, it seems like both teams are kind of on a pace that they could win a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. So the month of August probably is easy, but what's the month of September like? I mean, of course they have Seattle and Oakland.
They have Seattle and Oakland, Minnesota. Then they come home for one last long homestand where they play Toronto, they play Boston, they play, mm-hmm. and they play Baltimore, and then they go on the road to end the season at Tampa Bay and Boston. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, it's they definitely, other than that West Coast trip and then playing the Red Sox, they don't have a lot of tough opponents left. But I mean, they could definitely be on a win streak to end the season. But I think at the same time, like we have to play Cleveland twice still. Like we have to play them on the road and at home.
And even if they, even though the Red Sox swept them last weekend and all that, you know, they have 6 games against each other left, but. You know, you can't count on the Yankees taking all 6 games. There's no way.
No
way. So, you know, if you split with those games, you should be in this whole serve for the rest of the time. You should be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's still some anxiety, right?
Definitely. I think the division is, like, in control right now. But, you know, it's definitely the race isn't over. We've seen collapses happen, you know, many times by a team. So. A team with a big lead at the beginning or middle or even end of August, you know, doesn't even end up winning the division.
As long as there's no chicken and beer at the end.
Yeah, 2011. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, talk about the awards. You know, obviously the awards are still another month and a half away yet, a couple months away. But what's some of your early predictions for MVP?
I think right now it's a two-horse race between Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. I mean, Jose Ramirez of the Indians is having a really, really good year. And, you know, Mike Trout's always a perennial candidate. But I think
Lindor's pretty good, too, right?
Yeah, Lindor. Lindor's would definitely be in the conversation. But I think right now it's, like, you look at Mookie and J.D., and I don't think you can go wrong with either one. I would probably give the edge to Mookie because he's a better, obviously, defender. He does more, of the stuff, like, other than hitting. And they're both, you know, really good. Like, the only thing that J.D. kind of has the edge on is the, you know, the home runs and RBIs big time. But, like...
That's, ironically, I mean, he's going for the Triple Crown, and he could get beat up by the Triple Crown because of the batting average.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe Mookie will kind of throw his batting average.
You don't want that to happen either. Because you need him to get on base, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think he would complain too much about it.
No, I think it'd be like a combined Triple Crown, you know, with the two of them. But, I think right now I would have to give it to Mookie. But, I mean, J.D., has every possibility too. He's up to 35 home runs. He could very well hit 50. Mookie could very well hit 35, maybe even creep up near 40. And you know, if he keeps that high batting average up at around 340, 350, I think Mookie will take home the MVP.
How about the Cy Young award?
Cy Young, I think no question, it's got to be Chris Sale with the run that he's been on. You know, he's missed a couple of starts, but
yeah. But don't you think that was basically just the rest is on?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of ironic that it was against the Yankees. I would have, like, if it was strictly about rest, I think they would have waited until after the Yankees series.
But then again, it's also showing the Yankees, well, hey, we don't need Chris Sale to beat you.
Yeah. Well, no, and Brian Johnson really has been, he stepped up, and they're actually going to keep Brian Johnson in the rotation, which I love Brian Johnson. He's a good story. Didn't make an MLB team until well into his 20s, you know. So he's a good story, and he's pitching really well. And Drew Pomeranz is getting moved to the bullpen, and I'm not upset about that. No. And I'm not a big fan of him anyway.
I feel bad for him, though. It's his free agent year, too. And just like Donaldson with Toronto. They picked the wrong year to be free agents.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Because they're certainly not going to get any big bucks from it, too. Donaldson was good up until this year, and then injuries.
Yeah, it's just what happens sometimes. But I think Chris Sale, if he comes back, he has a nice start against the Orioles on Sunday. I think if he picks up where he left off, he was on an unbelievable stretch of like scoreless innings, and he let up one run in his previous like seven starts. And if he keeps anywhere near that up, and I think there's no question he'll come home with his first Cy Young, which is kind of hard to believe he's never won a Cy Young award. So I think Chris Sale for the AL Cy Young.
Would you know anything about the Rookie of the Year and stuff?
Rookie of the Year. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like Gleyber Torres, because he's really been one of the only, like...
He looked good at third base on Sunday night, didn't he?
Yeah. No, that was Andujar.
Oh, that was Andujar?
That's Andujar, but...
Okay.
But... Yeah, Gleyber Torres, he was an all-star. I don't know if he's... I think he's back off the DL, but I can't really think of any other crazy rookie stories this year. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being him.
Any top players out of the National League that you might know?
Arenado is tearing it up. And
what team was that?
Colorado. Yeah, Arenado's having a great year.
What's his position, though?
He's a third baseman. Third baseman for the Colorado Rockies. And he's a really... really good player. He's been like kind of a perennial guy, but has just never... he kind of gets taken away from because he plays in Coors Field, and you know, people think his stats are padded, but he does just as good on the road as he does at home. So
ironically, they say about Jacob DeGrom with the Mets, I mean, he could win the Cy Young considering his ERA is so low. And
yeah,
he's playing on a bad team, but his ERA is stupendous.
I think he might end up winning it, but if Max Scherzer can kind of pitch the Nationals into like a wild card spot, like because they're like 4.5 back right now, I think you might give the edge to him.
Yeah,
and Scherzer's there.
Well, that's what I always say. It's the same with the Mike Trout argument. I mean, how can you be the MVP of the team that didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah. Like, you're not, like, yeah, you're valuable to the team, but obviously your value wasn't enough to bring them to the playoffs.
Exactly. I mean, so it's tough to do that. So any kind of surprises since the start of the season? Any type of surprises that really shook you up a little bit? Say, wow, this happened and all that?
Let's see. I think Oakland being as good as they are is kind of a surprise. You know, I remember when we played them in April, or might have been toward the beginning of May, but like when we got no hit, and I was like, this team doesn't look, you know, good at all. But you know, they definitely proved me wrong, you know, because there were very, very few players like you would even recognize on the team. You know, Chris Davis, you know, with a K, Chris Davis with a K.
Yeah.
Chris Davis with a C is pretty bad, but Davis with a K.
He was good
is,
before he got his big contract.
Yeah, he kind of pulled a Pablo Sandoval, got a big deal, and decided just to shut down.
About 100 pounds less, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he... I don't know. I think he was on PEDs when...
supposedly...
When he had that big season.
Must be some mysterious pill he takes, because supposedly they have testing for that now, though. So who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows about that? You know, but it's possible, but like Jacoby Ellsbury. I mean, he had his best year in 2011, and he hasn't been the same since, but he's still got a big contract. The Yankees
regret. Yankees gave him that big deal after the 2013 season, and he's not even playing at all this year.
He's come up with some mysterious injuries for him.
Yeah, he's given up, like, he's given them nothing out of their 150-something million-dollar deal.
Any other surprises? I mean,
other surprises. Let's see. I mean, I hate to say it like that. Like, I expected the Red Sox to be good. No way I expected them to be this good. So I don't think anybody could expect a team to have 80 plus wins before, you know, in the first week of August.
Exactly.
So, like, yeah, they're still a surprise. Like, I thought they would have a good year, but I thought. I thought the Yankees would be, you know, about the same, if not even a little bit better in the standings all season.
And also Toronto, if they had some decent pitch in it, you know, they'd probably be higher in the standings too.
Toronto being that bad is a little bit of a surprise too.
Yes, they do have a good lineup, but their pitching hasn't been up to par.
No.
And also, but Tampa Bay's hung in there too. Kevin Cash could be the manager of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay's kind of, he's hung in.
They're over 500 with that lineup and all that.
Yeah, they don't even, like, have starting pitchers. They start, like, their relievers and have them go a couple of innings. And
he could be, like, the manager of the year type of thing.
Maybe, but I think the manager of the year is probably going to end up going to Alex Cora.
Usually they don't give it to a team that they expect to at least be in contention.
I mean... Usually not, but like when
could be Bob Melvin of Oakland too.
Yeah, it's more the fact that it's his first year being a manager and, you know, just like bringing a team, you know, to hopefully, you know, 110 plus wins. I think Cora has a good chance of being manager of the year, but it could be something like Bob Melvin or even Kevin Kevin Cash. But I don't know. I usually think the manager of the year usually brings his team to the playoffs. So. Yeah. And Tampa Bay is definitely not making the playoffs. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, you know, our teams, people didn't expect to hang in there as often as they did. You know, which is important that way. So, you know, to kind of wrap this third installment up a little bit, anything that you want to say about going forward into the season or what?
You know, hopefully the Sox can keep it up and keep doing their thing, keep, you know, winning series. You know, I can't even remember the last time that they lost a series, and that's a good thing. So, you know, if they keep taking 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, sweeping series, you know, it's gonna be a good end of the year, and they're gonna be chasing that 116 win mark by the Mariners back in 2001. But hopefully, they end up a little bit, you know, better at the end of the year than the 2001 Mariners.
So, any thoughts about maybe the last weekend of the season when the Yankees come back to town? Come back up here for those games or what?
I mean, I'm hoping they don't necessarily mean a whole lot.
Even if they don't mean anything about maybe coming back up and seeing them stick it to the Yankees again or what?
Oh, I would. I'd love to. I'd love to see that. You know, just
maybe,
end it.
You know, take a little extended weekend from studies down at University of Connecticut.
Oh yeah, come back up for a game. Yeah, no, I'd love to come back up for a game in September. I was planning on it anyway. I know they have quite a few home weekend series in September, so. It would definitely, I'd like to come back, especially for that last series against the Yankees. I haven't been to a Sox-Yankees game in I went to one at Yankee Stadium, but that was like one of the years that they were both not that good. So it was like 2014. But, you know, seeing a Sox-Yankees game when both teams are good doesn't get much better than that.
Exactly. So of course, going down to University of Connecticut, there'll be a few Yankee fans there.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few Yankee fans down there. But I remember talking to them right before we left when it was just like, you know, the Sox were doing good. They're like, oh, we'll see what happens over the summer. Come back. Yeah, we saw what happened. Yeah.
I wonder if they saw you call them, you know, that you did after the 4-game sweep.
I mean, maybe some of them did, you know. Hopefully they did, because kind of rubbing it in their face.
There's no food fights in the cafeteria, is there?
Yeah.
Is there any food fights?
I don't really see any. But.
Okay, I mean, you didn't have any. That's good. So, I mean, you know, so kind of looking forward to start another year off. I mean, it's kind of what's your appetite for more of studies into journalism, right?
Yeah. No, it'll be good, you know, doing something I actually want to do this year. So, yeah, no, looking forward to going back. You know, summer went by too fast, but that's just the way it goes.
You can tell some of your professors that you know a little bit more than they might know right
maybe,
now.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. Who knows? They might have just, you know, they might have never even had a job in newspaper business. So
hopefully maybe another few weeks or something like that, we could do the fourth installment of Red Sox Central, remote.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, by remote, you know, you'll be on the phone and I'll be in here someplace. And, you know, we could do something like that.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
Hopefully we could do that, you know, right straight through the end of October around Halloween, too. That'd be good, too, right?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be excellent, too. And, yeah, that'd be good. So it'll be a few more, hopefully, Red Sox Central podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, differentiate from, I know some guy named Carrabbas. Who is Carrabbas, anyway?
Yeah.
Exactly, you know. Anyway, 10 years later, you're the new Carrabbas, Danny Barletta, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this is Joe McConnell signing off and with Danny Barletta, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, and we'll stay tuned. Hopefully next month in September, we'll do a remote on another Red Sox Central podcast. And hopefully by then, the Red Sox will be a little bit more solidified into first place.
Absolutely. All right, see you then.